Well, welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by SUNY Upstate Medical University. Making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community and beyond, as we're going to learn in just a moment. This is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. Well, listeners, this morning we're going to bring you a conversation that will certainly move you. It's a reminder of how lucky we are in this country in so many ways, including the ways we rarely stop to appreciate. First, I'd like to introduce you to our guest this morning, Dr. David Reed, Associate Professor of Emergency Medicine at SUNY Upstate. Good morning, Dr. Reed.
Good morning.
And Dr. Barbara Connor, Emergency Physician at Auburn Memorial, graduate of SUNY Upstate, and a colleague of Dr. Reed's. And listeners, you'll understand that better in just a minute. Good morning, Dr. Connor.
Good morning.
Well, I have to admit, Dr. Reed, when I read your story in Upstate's Outlook, which it's a regular publication about the many programs and initiatives at University Hospital and SUNY Upstate, I understand you call yourself an ordinary man, but you know what? I found nothing ordinary. In fact, what I found was truly quite extraordinary about what you're doing. So let's explain to our listeners, your interest is in global medicine, and it was time for you to take a sabbatical. And what did you choose to do?
So I am roughly about 10 years into my career at Upstate in emergency medicine as a faculty member, and my passion is doing international healthcare. I take medical students and residents down to St. Lucia about 4 weeks of each year when I'm not working in the emergency department at Upstate.
Mm-hmm.
And finally was offered the opportunity by the administration to take a sabbatical and pursue my dreams of doing more in global health. And so I spent about a year working primarily in Africa, working in places where I've been interested in learning more about how healthcare systems rebuild after episodes of either strife by war or disaster.
And you know, that's what I found interesting was you didn't just go work in clinics in some really wonderful exotic country. Specifically, you chose, and I'm going to quote here, healthcare systems in crisis, those that have been disrupted by war. That was your focus, wasn't it?
That's where I ended up, yes.
Yes, okay. Yeah. And where were those places?
Probably the greatest, well, a variety of places, but I was working briefly in Haiti, Kosovo. I really started to focus on the northern Uganda and the southern Sudan border area, which has really been overrun by civil war and great tragedy for the people there.
And those were truly health systems in crisis, weren't they? I want to talk about specific experiences in just a minute, but let's step back here because there's really a bigger picture that's involved as well. This wasn't the first time you'd left the country. As you mentioned, you've been to St. Lucia and you take students there. And this is really to give the students a global perspective as well, isn't it? Let's talk about your clinic there.
So I don't have my own clinic. I support the work of a hospital. I am the non-tourist side of St. Lucia in a small town called Viewfort.
Okay.
And we work for 2-week stints at a time in a hospital that doesn't have any of the technologies of an American hospital, but a great deal of trauma, a great deal of illness. And I take medical students and residents, and we have the opportunity to walk in and do emergency medicine at a U.S. level with the resources they have there, and they appreciate our help.
And you know, and that's really the point, again, that I want to make sure that our listeners understand. We're not talking about an emergency department like we would find here in the United States with the resources we would have and the numbers of professionals we would have. You're talking about something entirely different, aren't you?
That's right. These are tropical diseases. St. Lucia in particular has a lot of drug traffic that is coming from South America, and that's one of the issues that faces them regularly. So drug runners running onto the beach and getting caught and shot with an M16 in the back. Ugh. Things like that happen. Children go to school in the back of a pickup truck. They'll have roughly 15 students in the back of a truck that will have an accident every once in a while, and they have no trauma centers, and that's the type of thing we would respond to.
That's incredible. You've had a number of students go with you to St. Lucia. Do you find that in general students at SUNY Upstate are receptive to global health initiatives?
I think there's a great hunger in today's world to see how we fit into responding to the tragedies of the world that we see on the news at 6 p.m. It's in our face the same day. You're looking at pictures of Myanmar or South Africa, and you can't forget. And so we see students coming out with their dreams of trying to make a difference and seeing these tragedies in their face and wanting to make that a part of their life and how they can help those people as well as people in America that also need their help.
And I have to think you're really fostering that whole aura there in your emergency department, because I know we've had Dr. John McCabe here before talking about his experiences with students in China. So this is really something that is fostered strongly in the emergency department, isn't it?
Yeah, I think there really is an understanding that we are part of the globe in a way that we haven't ever been before. Airplanes arrive with malaria patients from Africa.
It's amazing.
That's the reality, yeah.
I want to make a point, though, and this is something that I know when I'm speaking to patients, I try to get patients to understand. There are always a couple of perspectives on how these things happen. This is not so simple as a student doctor saying, you know what, I would love to make a difference and go to another corner of the globe when I'm finished with my training. They have some realities that they meet, and I think this reality is important for our listeners to understand, and you can explain it, I think, much better than I can.
So one of the toughest things that they deal with is after 10 years of hard work of education and residency, they typically have an average debt of $250,000 a year, and they have
Let's stop and say that again. $250,000. Yeah. That's what their loans look like when they come out of medical school. That's like bigger than most people's mortgages.
That's right. And they are still wanting to make life choices about how to practice as a doctor and how to serve their community and their world. Mm-hmm. And that kind of limits what they can do.
So it's not so simple as them deciding, okay, now I want to go out and save the world when I'm done. Right. And Dr. Connor, you've had some of that experience, haven't you? You were a student doctor at SUNY Upstate. Were you able to have any of these experiences while you were, because it's a few years ago that you graduated. I won't tell how many.
No, those opportunities weren't available to me at the time.
Your story is actually quite different, isn't it? The way you came to doing global medicine. Tell us about how you got started.
It was a local church group that actually had a partnership in El Salvador. Mm-hmm. So my experience with tropical diseases began in El Salvador.
Okay. And you live in Skinny Atlas.
Yeah.
And how is it that you came? You're going to tell us about your experience in Sudan, and I actually want to talk to both of you about that in a minute. But I find the story about how you came to it to be very interesting, so share that with us.
Yes. In Skinny Atlas, we had one of the lost boys of Sudan mm-hmm. be settled to the church, First Presbyterian Church in
right.
Skinny Atlas.
And his name is?
John Bull Dow.
Right.
And John wanted to give back to his country, and he wanted to start a medical clinic.
Mm-hmm. And I know many of our listeners have probably seen his story and heard about this in the newspaper, in the local newspaper. So you got to know John.
Yes, and John knew that I had done this medical work in El Salvador, so he knew I knew those diseases.
Mm-hmm.
So when it came time to have a doctor for the clinic, they asked if I would be the medical director of the clinic in the Sudan.
In the Sudan, and so you were doing that on the one side, and Dr. Reed, you were in St. Lucia,
mm-hmm.
and what happened? What was the synergy? What brought you together?
Actually, one of our residents introduced us. Somebody who was working with Barb one day said, you two have to get together. And we have formed a great partnership of working together with the Sudanese.
Good old-fashioned networking.
Yeah.
Having less to do with medicine and more to do with communications. I love that part of it. All right. So you started meeting with each other and talking about some of the things you could do together?
That's right, and we work on the board together. The John Dow Sudan Foundation.
Okay, so and let's make sure that we understand exactly what that is. That's a foundation that was set up to support
this clinic. We need to fundraise because the clinic is actually staffed by Sudanese people.
It is, and that's another. A corner of what you're doing that I want to talk about too. We've only got another minute before we take a break for the news. So the first thing I'm going to do is ask you if you can stay, and then we'll talk right till the news and then pick up where we left off.
Great.
Okay. Let's talk about the clinic in the Sudan as it was set up. Did John go to the Sudan to set it up himself?
John did, and our minister started in 2005 when peace accords were signed in Sudan,
mm-hmm.
and the village was empty at that time. John returned to his village that had been burned down to nothing.
And his family
of war.
Had disappeared?
Much of his family had disappeared.
Yeah.
But his father is still in the village.
Is he?
Yes.
How old is John now?
John is in his 30s.
He is. And yes. How old was he when he came here?
He came here in 2001.
So he was much younger. He was still a very young man.
Yes.
I have to think though, that his experiences made him much older than he would have been. There's a book that's been written about the clinic as well, isn't there?
Yes. The book was written under National Geographic's heading, and it's called God Grew Tired of Us. And there's also a movie.
That's right. And I was going to say, if listeners think that that title sounds familiar, that was Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt.
Yes.
And God Grew Tired of Us, and that's their movie, isn't it? All right, so let's go back, because we kind of digress, and we will make sure that people have links to get information about the movie and the book, but let's go back. John went to the Sudan.
Yes.
He set up this clinic.
And he met with the ministers of health there and the commissioners of the village and said, this is something our people need. The closest health care would be 75 miles away.
Oh, my gosh.
And so they needed basic clinics because people were dying in childbirth and dying of diarrhea. So
wow. Diarrhea.
Yeah.
As I said, something that we all take for granted is so simple to us. All right. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break for the news here. When we come back, I want to talk about how the two of you have worked together and how you've built this clinic and what you hope your expectations or what your expectations would be for the future. So listeners, we do need to take a quick break, but we will be back in just a few minutes. This is SUNY Upstate's HealthLink on Air on 570 WSYR.